Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, it's Midday at the Movies with our movie mavens, Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival and Anne Hornaday of the Washington Post. Plus, our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, will interview the Tony Award-winning Broadway star Andre DeShields before his appearances with the Baltimore Symphony this weekend. Andre DeShields, a senior statesman of American musical theater, is a native son of Baltimore. And my next guest is an emerging star in the world of country music and a native daughter of Baltimore. We first checked in with Brittany Spencer last summer, right before she made her second appearance at the famed Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. Since then, much has happened in her career. After years of singing backup for other artists, she is now headlining her own tour. She's going to be playing the 8x10 Club in Baltimore Sunday night. And a couple of weeks ago, she was featured on a Country Music Association Awards broadcast, singing with two other black country artists, Mickey Guyton and Madeline Edwards. Here's a clip from that performance of I Love My Hair. If I could go back to 12, I would tell myself the straight up or down, baby, that you cry. That I made up those rules, they don't apply to you. A straight up or down, you turn the world around. I used to think what God gave me wasn't fair. Brittany Spencer joins us on Zoom from Nashville. Britt, welcome back. It's great to talk to you.
Tom, it is such a pleasure to be able to sit here and just chat with you today. It's really a highlight of my day, of my week.
Well, mine too, because, you know, we did get a chance to talk a few months ago, and I just want to check in with you every so often to see how things are going, because things are going great on so many levels, and I'm so happy for you. Let's talk first about the CMAs. You get to sing with Mickey Guyton and Madeline Edward this incredible song. Tell us the background of this song, I Love My Hair.
It's just a song about self-love and just appreciating who you are, appreciating what you have. You know, it's a song where, I mean, I think it's affected a lot of people. I mean, this particular subject matter. I mean, I know people who've gotten fired from their jobs because of their hairstyles. I mean, the song was inspired by Faith Finity, who was a student who was basically sent home because her braids were said to be distracting by her teacher. And so this is a subject matter that has affected so many different students, particularly people of color. And it's a song that I think just, I don't know, reassures people that they don't have to want to change something just because society has an issue, and that who you are and all that you are is beautiful because it's what makes you who you are. Your hair says a lot about your culture, your heritage, what you like, what your interests are. You know, I change my hair all the time, and sometimes I'm not even wearing my hair, but I love it. I bought it.
Exactly. And this young woman, Faith Finity, this happened to her at school. This is a real thing. Happened to her at school when she was a little kid. And she introduced you, the three of you, at the CMAs. Because Mickey Guyton, I guess, wrote this song when she found out about this incident with Faith Finity. What was it like meeting this young woman, Faith Finity? And it must have been incredible for her to meet the three of you, who I'm sure she's big fans of and idolizes all three of you.
Absolutely. It was such an honor to meet her. It was such an honor to get to meet this girl who was so courageous to just take a stand for herself. That's so hard to do. You know, I know even as an adult, it is so hard to stand up for yourself. It's so hard to be vocal when you feel like you've been wronged. it's hard to say, hey, something isn't right in the world and I want to be part of change. And I can't change the world, but I can change where I am right now. I can change my community. I can be part of the change that's happening in my neighborhood, my school, wherever. It's so hard to do that. And she did that as a kid. And so to get to meet her, it just made me feel more courageous. It made me want to be more brave. It made me want to speak up and stand up for myself a little more. Because like I said, that's just a hard thing to do, no matter how old you are. And here's this kid just setting the standard. It was beautiful getting to meet her and her family. Several of her family members came down as well. And it was just a beautiful time.
My guest is Brittany Spencer. She is a country star. She's from Baltimore. She makes her home in Nashville now, but she is on the road a lot, performing all over the country. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our conversation was pre-recorded, so we're not able to take any calls or online comments today. So, I mean, Brittany, part of what makes this song so powerful, there's three women of color singing at the Country Music Association Awards. Your hairstyles, when folks get to check out the video of this, you'll see the three of you are just so beautiful in these long, flowing white gowns, and your hairstyles are just phenomenal. And it is such a fundamental thing for, particularly for a woman of color, hair. I mean, books have been written about this. Movies have been made. Chris Rock made a movie about African-American women's hair. And just the whole issue of representation of people in color in country music is something that you and your colleagues, Mickey Guyton, Madeline Edward, and others have taken up the mantle of championing. We talked about that a little bit the last time you were on several months ago. But how would you assess things in country music at this moment for women of color like yourself?
Yeah. Well, one, thank you so much for all the kind things you've just been saying. Thank you. We put a lot of work into figuring out how we wanted to look. You know, I felt like I was going to my wedding. I'm not married, but I imagine that's how it feels. We wore these long white gowns, and I made the joke backstage, I feel like I'm about to get married to country music. And there's no escape. They just stuck with me now. And so we have taken up this mantle, I guess, in a way. Just by speaking up, you just kind of take on this charge. And I will look at the industry right now and say there's a lot of people trying. You know, it's a new generation, it's a new day. And I think so many people have been longing for this sort of representation, particularly in any facet of roots music, where it's been predominantly white spaces, or where Black people or people of color have been excluded. And a lot of people don't always hear the stories, and they just think people of color just haven't wanted to do country music or haven't wanted to listen. And that's actually not true. That's the narrative that's always been placed in front of us to make us think things are this way because that's how everyone has wanted it. And that's just not true. And so I'm a champion of people, and I'm a champion of stories. And so when it comes to the idea of representation, my goal is always, how do we include more stories? How do we have this space be reflective of so many different kinds of people that are around? There's so many people who love country music. There are so many people, particularly who are from the South, whose lifestyles might not always fit within the narrative of the stories that have always been kind of presented in this space. And so it's, my goal is not to discredit what anyone else has done, the songs that have already been written, because I love them. That's why I'm here. I'm here because before knowing all this stuff, I just loved country music. I listened to the Chicks. They were the Dixie Chicks. I listened to Dixie Chicks, and I listened to Shania and Reba and Dolly and Brad Paisley and Keith Urban. I listened to them, and I fell in love, like madly in love with this music. And so it's I'm a champion of stories. I want to hear more stories. I want to hear about the Southern people that I met when my mother's husband, who's from Sumter, South Carolina, would take us down to see his family. You know, I want to hear stories that would make sense for them too. And so I write from that perspective. My grandmother, my mother's mother, is from North Carolina. My grandfather, my mother's father, is from Southern Maryland. And so I have all these different points of connection to my Southern roots. And I am from Baltimore, and I proudly wear Baltimore. I love Baltimore so much. And Maryland it can be Southern in some places. I mean, some will argue it's the start of the South in some regard. And so I just want more of those stories to be reflected and represented, because we're here, you know.
And it's so important. And the fact that now young girls like Faith Finity have you to look to, have you as a representation of what is possible, the kind of representation that you as a young child did not have.
No.
There were very few people that you could look to. But Faith Finity and the other young girls now do have that representation. It's so important. Brittany Spencer, she grew up in Baltimore County. She is blowing up the country music world. And we will have more with Brittany after a quick break. Our conversation was pre-recorded, so we're not able to take any calls or comments. I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday. Stay with us. That it hurts me to know you try.
This is your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, my guest is Brittany Spencer. She is a tremendous talent who has established herself as one of country music's most impressive emerging stars. She is in the middle of a national tour that will take her back to her hometown of Baltimore Sunday night, when she will present a show at the 8x10 Club. She's with me here on Midday until the top of the hour. Our conversation was recorded last week, so we're not able to take any calls or comments. So, Brittany, let's talk about your collaboration with Jason Isbell, a wonderful country artist. And I understand that he made a promise that if Senator Warnock and Senator Ossoff won their elections in 2020, he would do a record devoted to Georgia. And then you became involved in that record, and you've also been around the country with Jason. Tell me how you first got to meet him and the, you know, describe the nature of your working relationship together.
I love Jason Isbell. Oh, my goodness. I love him so much. He's family to me. He and Amanda Shires, both of them. The version that that probably feels like he would remember it is it happened last year. His wife, Amanda Shires, who's also an incredible artist and also the founding member of the Highwaymen, she saw a video that I posted on Twitter of me singing Crowded Table, a song by the Highwaymen. And she reposted that video of me just singing a little cover of it. And she invited me to sing with them, I guess, whenever, if ever, they got to perform again, you know, because we were in the middle of a pandemic at that time. And right after she posted it, Maren Morris also reposted it, invited me to sing with them as well. And I think that's how I met Jason. We just started following each other, and I just always thought he was hilarious. Like, he's my favorite person on Twitter. And we just met. And then I think, like, a month after that, yeah, I think it was like a month or so later, I ended up in his studio, in his barn studio, with him and Amanda's studio, with them and also Maren Morris, and we wrote a song together, and we just got to know each other, and then we just kept in touch, and then randomly, you know, he's just, I don't know, asked me to do things, like, hey, do you want to sing some songs on this record, the Georgia Blue record that you just mentioned? I ended up being in the studio. I was supposed to sing one song. I was supposed to just sing Midnight Train to Georgia, and then after we did that song, Jason says, do you want to do another one? I was like, sure. And so he says, let's do It's a Man's World. And I said, cool. And they printed out the lyrics for me. And I looked at the lyrics. And honestly, I've not told this story. I just feel, think back on it, I feel insane. I can't believe I actually said this to Jason Isbell. I looked at the lyrics and said, can I rewrite this? I said, can we change some of the words? This is really nice, but I'm a feminist. Can we rewrite some of this? And he's like, sure, go ahead. Like, Jason is so open. And he just wanted to create a bunch of space for people to be themselves and to creatively just do what they wanted. And I recognize that now. But in the moment, I'm just thinking about it like, oh, I'm just so comfortable with this guy, this friend of mine. I can just ask a question like, can we rewrite something? It took like honestly a little while for me to realize I just asked Jason Isbell, like not just my friend, but the artist Jason Isbell, if I can change the lyrics to a James Brown song that's going on Jason's album. I'm insane. But he's that. I think it's such a testament to just how down to earth and natural and wonderful and friendly he is. And he said, sure. And so Amanda and I, we went in the other room and we started just kind of rewriting some of the lyrics a little bit to kind of fit what we were wanting to present through the song. And that's kind of how I ended up with two songs on Jason's record. It's quite insane. But Jason is, I mean, he's family to me. I tell him and Amanda, I'm like, I forget y'all are famous. Because I'm not famous. I'm just having fun being an artist. But they're family, man. They're just incredible, incredible people. Good musicians, incredible musicians, even better people. And I think that's what we all strive to be, I think, as artists. We want people to remember us for our work, but also just for being a decent person.
Yeah, that really does matter. Let's take a listen to a little bit of that record that you just mentioned. Here is your rendition of Midnight Train to Georgia. You know how to sell a song. I'm telling you, you can sell a song. That is some good stuff. Gladys Knight would be very happy. I'm sure she is very happy when she hears that cover. You mentioned, you know, Jason and his wife, Amanda, they're famous. You're getting famous. You're getting more and more successful. How at this point, I mean, I can imagine you as a little girl saying, you know, one day I'm going to be famous and I'm going to be successful. Now you're, you know, an experienced young woman in her 30s. How do you define at this point in your career and in your life, how do you define success?
I define success as two things. Musically, and just in terms of my career, just having a wide reach. I would love for my songs to be famous and to travel the world and have incredible and major impact without me having to be famous too.
So you want to separate them, huh?
But I don't think that you can actually. And so I'm just facing it head on. People just know who I am sometimes. And I think that it'll just continue to grow from here. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Ask me again in a year or so. But I think success for me is having a wide reach and also just having a whole lot of balance. And so for me, that translates in so many ways. As a person, I want to have a family and I want to be able to balance that out with my career. Musically, I want to have something for everybody. I'm from Baltimore, you know, we listen to everything here. You know that.
Sure.
We've got a lot of everything. There's a huge country music fan base here, but also there are so many other genres that do very well here. And this is a hub for so many different kinds of artists and genres to come through on tours and on shows. And so I'm a product of that. And so I want to have a little something for everybody. And I think people can hear that reflected even in my country music. And I mean, then in just so many ways, I just want to have balance. You know, I just want to navigate whatever life has for me and whatever I want out of life, I want to navigate it as well while still being healthy and happy.
And I think you, by all reports and by all accounts, you have navigated it beautifully. And part of being successful, I think, is, particularly as an artist, is learning how to deal with the setbacks when they happen. And, you know, you've had your share, because every artist has. Are you finding yourself now, you know, as I say, in your mid-30s, better at handling and navigating those setbacks than you were 10 years ago? I mean, how long have you been in Nashville? When did you move to Nashville?
Yeah, I've been in Nashville for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny when you say I'm in my mid-30s, because I still feel like I'm 17 years old. I'm
You look like you're 17, but you
I act like it too. I've dedicated my whole life to wanting to do music. I've always wanted to do music. I mean, even from the time I was a kid, I went to magnet schools to study music all through middle and high school. I went to Lockraven Academy. I went to Carver Center for Arts and Technology for high school. I mean, I went to CCBC in Catonsville and I studied music, you know, and I did that before I moved to Nashville. I think for everything that people might see me do today, there's about two handfuls of things that I was denied. For every yes, there's about 100 no's that a person has gotten. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot. I mean, I think without music, rejection is just already hard for anybody, I think. You know, and you might get rejected by, I don't know, you might want a certain job, you might want a certain lover, you might want something, but it happens a few times a year, usually, where you might get rejected. In music, in this industry, I get rejected multiple times a day. You know, you get constantly denied, but it's that yes that makes the difference. And so I handle rejection a little better, a little better than I probably thought I would have, because I just look forward to the yes. And if I can plow through the no's, I can get to the yes, and I can get to the thing that I'm really wanting, which is really just an opportunity to just be myself and to be an artist and to sing or write for more people. And so I'm handling it okay. Some days it's, you know, better than others, but you just have to stay focused. I know what my goal is. I know what my purpose is. And if somebody or something tells me no, then it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't mean it won't hurt. And I give myself a time limit. I'm like, look, girl, you got about 3 days to get over this. That's what Beyonce does. Beyonce gives herself 3 days to cry about something, and she moves on.
Then it's
done.
So
I give myself about three.
Then it's done.
Sometimes four,
because
I'm not Beyonce.
Well, I am very, but I am very glad that you said yes when we gave you a call and said, can you come back on the show? Because we want to keep in
touch.
We want to say hi on a regular basis to follow your career. It's really great talking to you. Thank you so much. And break a leg on this tour.
Tom, you are incredible. Thank you for having me. I always come back. I love Baltimore. This is my home forever. And Charm City, baby.
All right. We'll check in with you again soon. Country star Brittany Spencer. You can catch Brittany in concert Sunday night, 7 o'clock at the 8x10 Club here in Baltimore. We've got a link to information on the Midday webpage at WIPR.org. That's it for us today. Tomorrow it's Midday at the Movies with Jed Dietz, the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival, and Anne Hornaday, the film critic for the Washington Post. Plus a special treat, Midday theater critic J. Wynn Russick interviews the great Broadway star and Baltimore native Andre DeShields. Until then, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
I empty the fridge, you empty the bottle. We're stacking up a mountain of hard pills we'll have to swallow. It's strange how we point our flaws at one another. We both got different vices and they lead us to each other. Cause you overdrink and I overeat. We're underthinking everything. And every night we swear it's gonna change. But in a perfect world, you get sober. Skinny. We live off for more than pennies, writing checks that we can cash, keeping all our promises. We got faith, we got each other. We grow up and we get better. Things need fixing, we got plenty. When you get sober, I'll get skinny. Mm-hmm. When you get sober, I'll get skinny.
This is your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.